Hi, I'm Andrew Burton, editor of SearchDisasterRecovery.com, and I'm here today with Paul Kervan to discuss disaster recovery auditing. Paul has more than 20 years' experience in business continuity management as a consultant, author, and educator. He's also the secretary of the Business Continuity Institute USA chapter. How's it going today, Paul?
Oh, it's great. Nice to be on the phone.
All right. So first off, what is a disaster recovery audit?
Good question. Well, let's do it this way. Before we do disaster recovery audits, let's just begin by quickly reviewing IT audits, since typically a disaster recovery audit is an area or can be an area that's addressed in the IT audit process. Now, an IT audit is a process of collecting and evaluating evidence of an organization's information systems, practices, procedures, operations, and even governance. Now, the evaluation of that obtained evidence can help determine if the information systems are safeguarding the company's assets, maintaining data integrity, and operating effectively and efficiently to ensure that the organization's goals and objectives are achieved. These audits and reviews may be performed in conjunction with a financial statement audit, an internal audit, or some other kind of similar engagement. Now, IT audits typically focus on determining risks that are relevant to information assets and in assessing controls that can help reduce or mitigate the risks that are identified. Now, by implementing controls, the impact of risks can be minimized, but as you can imagine, controls, no matter how comprehensive or detailed they are, cannot completely eliminate all the risks. Now, the key to successful disaster recovery is to have a plan, and that can include things like an emergency plan, a technology recovery plan, even a business continuity plan, and have those in place well before any kind of a disaster or incident strikes. Now, auditing that plan ensures that it addresses the people, the process, and the technology issues, as well as the relevant controls, so that the plan is likely to work as anticipated or as planned, especially when you're faced with a real emergency.
Okay, and what do you see as the key factors that should be considered as part of a DR audit?
Well, there's a number of them, and I'll just go through them one by one. Every once in a while, I'll maybe add an extra point or two, but there's a number of them that really need to be factored in when you organize a disaster recovery audit. First thing I like to look for is disaster recovery policies, and even a mission statement. It's always good to have kind of the foundation guidelines for how to do these things. Then it's also important to have a written disaster recovery plan and a process in place to continually update it, because as the business changes, the plans should change. It's good to have a designated hot site or a cold site, and these are typically other addresses that have varying levels of equipment that can serve as an alternate site to operate certain information systems. Now, you also need to have the ability to recover data and systems. It's not enough just to have a hot site or a cold site. You also have to have the ability to recover data and systems. Another important audit point is to have processes in place to help explain how to do backups of systems and data, because as long as the data and the systems and the related technologies are backed up and kept reasonably current, your chances of surviving some kind of a disruptive event are greatly increased. Another important audit element is to have tests and drills of the disaster procedures. It doesn't make any sense to do anything like this unless you know that they actually are going to work, and it's very important that you exercise them to make sure that they function in the correct sequence. It's also very important to have data and system backups stored somewhere other than on-site. It can be a third-party off-site storage facility, and there's quite a number of companies that do that. It could be another company location. If your organization has many, many sites, you can actually arrange for backup of data at other company locations and save yourself the money of going to a third party. It's good to have an appointed disaster recovery committee and a chairperson. These would be people other than the disaster recovery or the business continuity professionals, members of senior management, maybe department leaders or whatever, who are concerned about protecting the technology that supports their operations. it's always good to make sure that you've got updated lists of emergency telephone numbers for all the key people, not just all employees, but the key people within the business units and the technology space, so that they can be reached literally any time of the day. It's good to make sure that you've got insurance of some kind, not just to insure the equipment, but also to provide a business interruption insurance, perhaps liability insurance. There's a whole number of different kinds of insurance that need to be addressed, and this is also a good activity to audit. It's very important to have procedures that support communication within the organization so that employees and management will know what's going on, but it's also important to make sure that stakeholders and other third parties know what's happening in an incident. Next item would be to have updated and validated system as well as operational documentation. Very, very important to make sure that you have that material available. If you're looking at servers and applications, network components, things like that, it's good to make sure that you've got the operating manuals available, especially if you don't have your normal technical staff on site. They might be away on vacation, not available. And if other people who are not normally involved in these systems have to be brought into play, it's good to have the documentation in place so they can help them get up to speed quickly. Another important item is to make sure you've got emergency procedures to help, for example, help people evacuate the building, to seal off areas that may be at risk for fire or smoke, things like that. Another important thing is to make sure that you have the ability to back up staff. We always talk about backing up data and backing up systems, but on the assumption that you have staff members that, for whatever reason, are not available, and these are key technical people, or management people, it's good to make sure that you've got some cross-training of other staff that they can step in and take over. One of the things I always like to make sure that in an audit process is to make sure that there's a list of all the different hardware and software vendors. You know how to contact them 24/7. We're so used to having just about everything automated nowadays, we forget what might happen if that automated and that technology goes away. So one of the things I like to do is to make sure that there's manual procedures available to help get through a disruptive event, especially if the technology is no longer available. And finally, a very important element in an audit is to make sure that there's contractual agreements in place with third-party organizations, maintenance companies, your vendors. And a key example of this would be service-level agreements, or SLAs. Very, very important to have these.
Okay, great. So there's really a lot of things that you need to consider. What do you see as the key benefits of performing a DR audit?
Well, there's a number of reasons why you want to do it. And good things that can come out of this is that an audit can identify disaster recovery programs that are incomplete. They might not have suitable or accurate procedures. They might not have sufficient or up-to-date documentation. The audit can identify whether the plan has been tested or not. And again, one of the key things is to make sure that the information is kept up to date. So an audit can identify these kinds of things. And having done a lot of audits over the years, these are the kinds of things that often get overlooked. Now, if you can satisfy the audit and compile your findings and everything, the upside of all this is that the audit can help ensure that the disaster recovery program, not just the plan, but the program, and all the various components, which of course can include the plans, and you ensure that all this information is up to date, it's appropriate for the function, you know, that you have the right procedures for the right kinds of activities, and the ultimate result is that you can continue to fulfill the organization's business objectives. Very, very important to do that. Now, if all this is done and everything works okay, you know, the organization will be better prepared to respond to just about any kind of unplanned incident, and more importantly, should be able to mitigate the severity and the long-term impact of the incident.
Okay, what are the major challenges that people face when they're performing a DR audit?
Well, I can tell you from having done a number of these, the most important challenge is to make sure that you've got senior management support for the audit. Now, this is not only just, you know, on paper, but it also It means having senior management help you get access to the people you need to interview to get information for this, and also approval for funding. You can't just do these things out of thin air. You really do need funding for these things. Now, otherwise, aside from those, some additional issues from the audit, if you don't do these things, the organization could continue to be at risk. You may not think you are because, you know, if you've never had any major problems, but in effect, the organization is still at risk. Now, additional challenges aside from the impact of senior management include being able to schedule and conduct interviews and follow-up meetings with key staff in the organization, not just in the IT organization, but also in business units. Then another one would be obtaining the information required by the audit, and this would be information regarding the controls, procedures, testing the various activities to make sure that they work properly. The next one would be to ensure that the information is the most current available. That's always a major challenge. And then finally, to ensure that the disaster recovery and even business continuity programs address the most critical technology and business-related issues.
Okay, cool. And lastly, what about bringing in a third party to perform the audit? What are the pros and cons of taking that approach?
Well, now, if the organization doesn't have an internal staff that has experience or is qualified to conduct the disaster recovery audit, there are some good options available from third-party organizations. If you're looking at an organization like that, make sure that the staff who would be doing the audit has the appropriate professional credentials. And a good one would be the Certified Information Systems Auditor, or CISA, which is recognized worldwide, and also relevant business continuity and or disaster recovery credentials. And there are many places where you can get those credentials, but two of the principal locations would be the Business Continuity Institute and the DRI International. Now, if you're evaluating a third-party organization and you identify what appears to be a lack of experience and or maybe proper credentials, well, that should certainly generate red flags. Even organizations like the Big Four, like Deloitte and Touche or Price Waterhouse, may very well have the capability of conducting disaster recovery audits, but, you know, but they could be very expensive, and you may not be able to support the funding for something like that. Now, the good news is that there are dozens of small to medium-sized independent consulting firms across the country and even outside the country that specialize in business continuity and disaster recovery, and they can provide excellent value for money. Now, the key, of course, is to make sure that they've got the proper experience and, of course, the credentials. Now, if you happen to have the misfortune of using an inexperienced or an unqualified firm, I mean, the result could be useless or otherwise irrelevant or inaccurate recommendations, or perhaps ignorance of critical operational issues that need to be addressed. So the result would be your organization may very well be unable to validate and even improve its business continuity and or disaster recovery capabilities, and at that point, the firm is still at a continued level of risk. Now, one of the things I'm very strong on is to use IT-specific disaster recovery standards when conducting an audit. Now, the good news is that there's a number of these in place that are easy to get and provide excellent information for identifying controls and also to help structure audits. The best examples I find are the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, N-I-S-T, Special Publication 800-34, that's for IT contingency planning, that's Special Publication 800-34. There's International Standard ISO 24762, it's International Organization for Standardization, 24762, came out in 2008, very good document. The third one is British Standard, BS, for British Standard, 25777. Again, it was approved and went into play last year, 2008, and it focuses exclusively on IT disaster recovery. So there's three right there. Now, simply following the standards provides an excellent template for conducting an audit. Really can save you a lot of time. Now, there's also a number of hard copy and even software-based audit tools that you can use to simplify the audit process. The good news is that there's a number of sources where you can get these, such as Rothstein Associates, which is a publishing company based in Connecticut. Their website is www.rothstein.com, and, of course, TechTarget.
All right, great. Paul, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to me today.
It's my pleasure, and to all your listeners, the audit process is very important, and should never ignore the importance of doing that when you're putting any kind of IT programs together.
Okay, great. And for more information about DR auditing and other disaster recovery topics, please visit searchdisasterrecovery.com. Thanks for listening.